Hello, YouTube. My name is Angelo, and with me I have Nike.
Hey, Vsauce here.
What's up, forum? Waka waka wah! I can't do that. That sound effect.
The record scratch.
Yeah. That's Ray William Johnson, for you guys who don't know.
Remember when Ray William Johnson was like the YouTuber everyone followed?
Yeah, and my little annoying kind of hipster self was like, I hate him because he's popular and he's stupid. Well, he was stupid. I thought he was stupid.
He was popular. He was stupid, but you know what? I liked him anyway. I was like, I'm too good for channels like Fred and Smosh, you know?
Yeah,
Smosh. But Ray William Johnson, you know, I like that stuff.
Yeah, that's funny. Smosh, they're really bad. I went back and watched some of that. I watched some of it when I was like really young, like 11 and 12. But as I got older, I really did not like Smosh. But I watched some of the stuff I liked when I was like 12 years old, and it's horrible. But, you know,
That stuff doesn't hold up over the years.
Definitely not. But nonetheless, there's still a nostalgia connected with it, even though it is very bad. Anyways, we're going to read your comments because we're kind fellows here at this podcast. I guess I'll start off with Honk Hogan. Welcome back, filthy goyim. Just in time for Strike and Mike to shit the bed. And this is in reference. We uploaded August 4th. It's been a while. I was gone.
You want to know the funny thing? They've delayed it this week as well.
Yeah, so
that comment still applies.
Yeah, I've been gone camping and stuff. I'll talk about that later. Kent says, congrats on the milestone, guys. Keep up the good work. That's because it was episode 100. Now it's 101.
Yeah, Tam says, our 100th episode.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We haven't done like more than this ever. Tam says, that feel when TYH episode 99 was 20 years ago.
Well, like the original episode 99, perhaps.
Yeah, well, if that were true, I'd be a little... 20 years ago, I was a little tyke.
We're really young whites.
Yeah.
Babby white.
Was I on the internet then? Probably. I was very young on the internet. That's just our generation. Maybe not. 20 years. Nah, that's too, nah. I can't even remember then, to be honest. Bam Bam Gigolo says, fuck yeah.
Right on, brother.
And the Danish Dionysus says, this is in reference, we were talking about Journey to the End of the Night from Louis Ferdinand Céline. He said, France was proto-Weimar. Look up the 1880s. Probably not in 1480s, am I right?
No, you're right. I mean, France fell apart pretty quick after that whole revolution.
Swamp Creature says, kids these days, no conception of time or due dates.
Wait, I want to go back to that because it just occurred to me. It's like, so why the hell is there such like a quick slippery slope from democratic like bourgeois revolution to like letting
gamers
into your country?
This is how it is.
That pipeline is a real thing. And France is all the proof you need. You know, one moment you've got colonies, the next moment you've got a bourgeois revolution, and shortly afterwards there are black people in Paris.
Yeah. And they make rap songs about it.
You know, these things are related.
Boom, 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 boom.
Do you want to go off on a tangent? Because I got a Parisian black tangent.
If you want.
Yeah, no, I just came across this Netflix promotional poster for a new movie called Cutie. And it's made by this African Muslim woman. And the plot of the film is this 11-year-old African Muslim girl in Paris joining this twerking dance group.
Oh, wow.
where she discovers her femininity and comes into conflict with the morals of her mother. And it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, you've got a movie about 11-year-olds aspiring to be, you know,
thoughts?
A twerk star.
Yeah, that's... I mean, twerking is utter... That's one of the most sexualized dances you could even think of. You're moving your behind in a disgusting manner.
I mean, it's implicitly... It's, well, even explicitly yeah. sexual.
Yeah, no, totally. Explicitly, though.
And the idea that, like... So here we have people who shouldn't be in France at all, Senegalese Muslims, and now their 11-year-old is going to like join the twerk
society.
Le twerk society. le société twerk.
Yeah.
It's
society it's like, of the twerk.
This. This is like a full embodiment of the West as now. The great Satan.
This is what we got now. Like, twerkers.
You got
Muslim like, twerk gangs.
We somehow make them worse off with our degeneracy and their presence here in the West. I mean, And the thing is, while this particular story is fictional, the larger implication and like message of it is true. You know, maybe it's not 11-year-olds joining the twerk troupe, maybe not yet, but it functionally is, it practically is. Maybe it you know, instead it comes in the form as the 16-year-old like grinding at the school dance. Hmm. You know, it seems so banal to us, and you know. It does.
I remember girls grinding at like 12, like when I was 12.
Yeah, I mean this is a thing we're used to, but this didn't just always exist. This came into development.
Now we just developed into we've progressed in history.
We just progressed. We got better.
Yeah, society is history is just a. It's just a story of complete progress. We're getting better and better and better.
The linearity towards enlightenment.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Ow. Anyway,
so this is like the newest thing that Netflix is putting out. And
well, I occasionally
if you're giving money to Netflix, you're a traitor.
Don't do it. That's gonna be hard for the women listening to give up their Netflix. Because that's like what women do. It's like their personality.
If it's hard for you, then give me your username and password, and I'll do it for you. I will unsubscribe for you. I'll do it free of charge. I'll delete all of your personal information afterwards. But ladies, you know, hit me up. I will delete your Netflix for you in a heartbeat. I will do it as a labor of love, completely free.
He'll do other things free for you, too. <I'm just kidding. laughs> So Vadhash Daska says, Anglo, I hope you recharged during your break from podcasting. Well, I had another one after episode 100. That shape-shifting bestiality smut reminded me of that movie, The Shape of Water. Women and critics love that shit. So
I bet that was on Netflix, too.
That's probably on Netflix. I didn't know what that was, The Shape of Water, but I searched it up, and it was a Hollywood movie of... Wasn't it a broad falling in love with like a fish man?
Yeah, it's basically straight out of H.P. Lovecraft. Fish HP fucking love, happened like, again. He predicted this.
H.P. Lovecraft like fanfic.
Lovecraft predicted this.
You know what? As the tangent as well, I haven't read Lovecraft. I'm not really like a a horror or a sci-fi guy. Maybe I should try it. I don't know. Have you read Lovecraft?
Some, but like, you know, I know all the memes.
Yeah, I kind of do, just, not entirely.
You know, don't fuck fish people because you will taint your race.
Was that it? Was that actual thing? Was that a plot?
Yes.
Oh well, there we go.
You know, Innsbruck. That was the title. Where the. The residents therein are this mongrelized human fish race that exists adjacent to the rest of humanity. And the primary lesson is, you know, don't fuck other races, bro. It's not worth it.
White women, you know the end of the hashtag.
Oh, yeah. I'm reminded every day, it seems.
You there writes, going through that book at the end reminds me of this video. It's a video linked from like some... We're going over some books on Amazon that are very popular with the women, of like shape-shifting bears.
Yeah.
These men that shape-shift into bears and like they have sex with women.
They keep coming up, don't they?
Yeah. Disgusting.
What? It's almost like somebody said nothing wrong one point in time. And those words remain true.
Ray Swornow says, Anglo, are you a noise rock national socialist? And perhaps. Now, this is a controversial statement. I don't know if you agree. It seems kind of weird. Folkish Arkansas says, Nikkei's laugh is heartwarming.
Oh, well. I'm glad I can provide some cheer into your life just with the sound of my laughter.
The joyous mongrel laugh.
What makes it mongrel?
I'm joking.
Well, if that's true, then it shows that my white half is the strongest.
Badbridge says, many of the Smiths songs are extremely technically impressive, because we were talking about the Smiths in the last episode. Johnny Marr was a savant with the guitar. As for Morrissey, if you read his biography, he heavily implies he was diddled as a kid. Ooh.
Wow, that was I'm going to interrupt you there. There's some interesting, poetry meter unintentionally there. Johnny Marr was a savant with a guitar. As for Morrissey, if you read his biography, he heavily implies he was diddled as a kid.
That's... Maybe Morrissey wrote this comment.
Damn. Is this Morrissey telling the world that he was molested for the first time ever, and he put it in
our comments.
Poetic form in our comment section? If so, extremely based, please come on the show.
Wouldn't that be crazy if we got Morrissey on the show?
I might just fanboy out. No, I'd be good. I'd control myself, but internally.
Yeah. And he also says that Morrissey has had relationships with both men and women. He's doing the counter jihad bit right now, which is disappointing. But what I say to that is, that's still funny. It's counter jihad or whatever, the Britain First. What is that movement called? I don't know.
For Britain.
For Britain. Yeah, it's kind of, milquetoast, boring to our standards, but it's still funny that people get so triggered over basic kind of civic nationalism.
You know what, I don't like Muslims either. that didn't change ever.
Yeah,
they didn't become good all of a sudden. It's not like I want them here. And as we were just talking about a few minutes ago, we make them worse by bringing them here. So yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah, dude, we're making the Muslims...
Stay the fuck home.
For your own religion and tradition. Don't come over here.
Yeah, for your own sake. You think, the jobs are great, the economy...
So is the sodomy. The economy and the sodomy.
Well, you know what? You're going to have to bend over and take Shlomo's dick.
Oh, God.
And you know what? Yeah, I'm such a good person. I'm going to warn you and tell you I don't want that for you. I'm going to spare you that fate. Stay the fuck where you are.
Well, you could see that Morrissey is treated like a heretic for sure in the Zoomer.
Oh yeah.
Indie community, because they're big fans of the Smiths and they figure this out and they're upset, but they're like, oh, I can't wait for Morrissey to die. He's a fascist. He's horrible. All these crazy things. It's like they work. They're. Their moral puritanism is so freaking pathetic. He's not even that extreme, okay? He's just proud to be English.
He just has normal opinions.
Yeah, he has normal opinions.
He's just like a normal human being. You know,
he's just not afraid to say things.
Yeah, he's got, you could say, a position that allows him to speak freely without as significant of consequence as others.
Yeah,
and
he does it.
That's fine. Like, he can leverage that position he has and do what he wants with it.
Yeah, it's. I think there's like this rap song called like, "I Can't Wait Till Morrissey Is Dead." It's like a very anti-white song.
Wow, that's fucking gay. The only thing that Morrissey got wrong is defending Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, I don't know.
I still respect him anyway. He can be wrong about things, you know.
Well, he just says he's not afraid. I mean, there's something to say about like the bookish working class kid. Like they're bookish and they're artistic, but they still, you know, they don't cuck. They don't have that sort of like bourgeois morality. I could see that within myself, right? I'm like Morrissey in many ways. Like, I was a very sensitive, artistic kind of kid in high school, my whole life, basically. But, like, I did it without becoming decadent, you know? Because a lot of the people in the upper middle classes that are into this kind of stuff, because it's mostly, like, people are into poetry. I'm not really into poetry, but, like, for Morrissey's case, people are into poetry and literature are mostly, like, upper middle class people, professors as parents or something like that. And they're, like, very... It's just decadent, but for him he still has a kind of, I don't know, working class confidence and not concern about these like bourgeois moral standards, you know.
Do you mind if I ask you a question that'll go down another tangent?
Sure.
Did you ever watch the Dead Poets Society?
I watched a little bit of it, I believe. A long time ago. I forgot.
Did you big relate to that?
I might have. It was a long time ago when I saw it. I don't really remember. It didn't stick in my head.
You know, fair enough. I'm just curious. If you don't really remember enough of it to say anything about it, that's fine. I was hoping I could get a little bit more out of it, but...
Yeah, you know. Isn't that Robin Williams or something?
Maybe you rewatch it and we can talk about it. Maybe we even make it a pause button.
Yeah, we could do some movie reviews.
Yes, something cool like that. Anyway, I figured it was a logical conclusion from that idea of being a bookish kid.
Yeah. I don't know, because I feel like when you're like more nerdy or whatever, more artsy, when you're working class, you kind of have to prove yourself in some senses. You can't just like, I don't know. Because you're around, like, kind of grugs and chads, you know? And so, like, you kind of have to be vocal. And because you're different from everyone else, you kind of have to be willing to, like, stick your neck out for what you believe in. I don't know.
No doubt.
So, let's go to Heidegger 14. This guy does a good review of The Journey to the End of the Night. He says... WTF, synchronicity, Anglo. I just finished Journey to the End of the Night last week, too. I found the story to be about Barnum's disenchantment with modernity, mainly with the lack of heroism in industrial society. When he is fighting in World War I, Barnum sees the absolute randomness and depravity of trench warfare. Most notable is the officer who cares more about bread than his dead comrade. But then the officer dies in an artillery explosion after. Barnum sees the callousness of life in Africa, the dead consumer's idleness of America, and the animalism of the poor in urban France. Barnum sees the dead dreams of many French prostitutes. He waxes on about the absence of heroism or idealism when the modern world caters slowly to one's stomach and libido. I like that. Damn. Because when you read the book... it's actually been a while, like a few weeks since I read it, but there's like a lot of like, you know, bodily analogies and just straight up like, you know,
visceral in a literal sense.
Yeah, very visceral. It makes sense because Céline was a doctor, and so like he viewed things at a more physical level. It's very kind of materialist in that sense.
Nice.
Like talking about bodily discomfort and all these things. And yeah.
I mean, that's the type of thematic basis that I feel most people can relate to, naturally so.
I see Bartimeu as a wannabe Peer Gynt who realizes the modern world isn't full of maidens and fairies, but rather tuberculosis and cannibals. Céline did a good job showing the total nihilism of industrial society against the high-minded ambitions of Bartimeu.
Damn. Consequences coming up again and again.
In many ways, Bartimeu is the precursor to Camus' Stranger and Welbeck's middle-aged burnouts. Truly a sobering but insightful book. That was a good comment. Heidegger. We have Morrissey, then we also have Heidegger commenting on our stuff.
Don't we have the best commenters? I mean,
yeah.
Everyone. I actually met one of our prolific commenters recently. Mr. White Presenting Cecilia.
Was he white presenting?
Very much so.
Good.
But also very visibly Sicilian.
Hey, don't be ashamed in that.
You know, Sicilians, you've had a lot happen to you, but you started off Greek, so that's the best thing.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, shout out to my boy.
Spruce Lee says, can you into RSSS?
No.
RSSS, no.
Stop asking. Nothing and personal, but we're not going to do it.
That's the end of the comment stream. But that was a good. Those were some good comments, guys.
Yeah.
It really started getting really good near the end.
No, we welcome all the comments you guys have for us, ranging from just the short and sweet to the deep dive and in depth.
If you guys are wondering why it took me a little while to upload this episode, it's because I was up in the mountains in a different state, did some visiting, did some nice sightseeing, and I had a great time. I had no technology. Well, I had my phone, but, you know, I don't have unlimited data, so I can't use it, besides if I need to call somebody, like, a, I don't know, an emergency or something like that.
I can't. How was it, you know, traversing those country roads?
It was nice. I was around in some nice small towns, but being where I was kind of like a touristy area because it's very nice where it is. Some of the small towns had like annoying tourists in it, and you could like tell them apart from the natives. Mm. Totally. Like I saw like Black Lives Matter on some guy's car. He definitely wasn't a native. Like the natives like go around with all the Trump stuff, you know.
Yeah,
that was kind of because even though I stayed more out in the middle of nowhere, like if you go more toward like the city-ish, it's not really a city, but it's kind of a city
town.
Yeah, a town where the tourists stay, where they have nice places to stay near the bottom of the mountain. It's like I forgot what I was going to say, but
well, I think you were going on the point that it's, you know, it detracts from the reality of the people who actually live there.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of them are more upper middle class, because there are some very nice hotels over there. So they just...
Are you saying some of the residents are upper middle class, or some of...
Maybe, like, the tourists, upper middle class...
Right.
Or from
that's
cities.
What I thought you were saying.
And it's like, come on, man, we don't like you. And I actually saw an Orthodox Jew first time.
Oh no.
Or second time, or third time I've seen one.
Is he wearing his bondage gear?
No.
Doing his, like,
I think
his Quaker shit, just rocking, shaking back and forth.
Well, he wasn't that old. He wasn't ultra Orthodox, but he was still Orthodox. He had a, you know, hair curl, but he had like the little
did
hat.
He have like the big Russian fur type hat?
No, he just had a yarmulke, but he did have the curls.
Did he have like a disgusting hooked nose and
I didn't remember.
Like thin lips curled around his rotten
pointy. Well, I saw that, but then it was just you in the corner.
A, I have no Jewish traits.
I know. I was trying.
You've seen me. My face is completely Aryan.
That's right. Also, it was just nice doing some hiking, which is a big. I like doing. I haven't done a lot of hiking in my life, but I did a lot of hiking when I was gone, and it's really fun.
Mm.
It's really
explains
nice.
Explains a lot. You can tell a lot about a man by the miles he's hiked in life.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't. I mean, I've done some hiking by where I live, but it's too kind of developed.
The good thing about hiking is you can always catch up.
That's right.
You know, you will never go wrong by hiking more.
There's
I've
nothing
never
more...
heard somebody say, like, oh, man, I wish I didn't go on that hike. No, you never hear that, because a hike is a universally beneficial experience.
Yeah, it's nice being able to, like, be on the edge of a mountain and see God's creation or Mother Nature, however you want to word it.
Absolutely.
And beautiful greenery, and it's just, there's no pollution up there or anything. It's, and you know what gets me mad is when you see on the trails, like, trash.
Yeah.
Or, like, tagging. There's not a lot.
I personally can't, like, stand trash. I'd bring bags because I know I'm going to find it and I need to pick it up.
I should have brought a bag because it got me so mad. It's like, why are you doing this?
Dude, you know who does it the worst?
Who?
Beaners.
Yeah, Mexicans. They do.
Like, so here's why that's true. If blacks did go, they wouldn't bring enough with them to actually have anything to pollute. So no matter what, the beaners are going to win out on that because they bring a ton of shit with them and they don't throw it out properly. Like, I'm walking around this trail and I see this full, like, loaded nasty diaper.
Ugh.
And other trash just strewn
like
about the trail.
It's like those spicy chips and they're like the bags and are in, like, Spanish.
I mean, I didn't have to see anything like that to know that a fucking beaner did this, bro.
Yeah,
this has spick written all over it.
It is true. They like to pollute, like, the trash and the nice, beautiful rural areas.
I've seen pictures of hiking trails that in Spanish have a sign that say, "Don't shit here." And I think, like, there's videos out there exposing these spics who will shit on a trail because they just think it's okay. I mean, it's not something that they're too proud to do. I mean, they're totally willing to just, like, stop in the middle of a trail. If it's hiking, if it's biking, no matter what, they will just drop a squat and let a dump loose in the middle of the fucking nowhere. You know, I guess it reminds them of home.
Yeah.
Gross people. They do not, like, they don't know how to take care of their trash and their waste. They're so
nasty.
No,
like, they, yeah, it's gross.
It's like, I mean, this is like where guttural racism comes from. They're just nasty. They disgust you because they don't have the same sense of hygiene and cleanliness as us. And, like, these are the basic things that mean you can't live together. If you know anything about, like, managing roommates, cleanliness standards is a big fucking deal.
It is.
If there is a disconnect in the standard of cleanliness maintained between roommates, it's not going to work out. Not for long, because eventually, like, some sort of issue will come up where somebody's sick and tired of the mess and the other person is just indifferent, doesn't care. It's going to break apart. And this is true across generalized racial lines. We can't live with these people because they're fucking gross.
Yeah, it's sad because it's beautiful mountain paths and you decide to drop toys and stuff.
I was going to say, imagine you're going through, like, the most serene, beautiful location and then you're like stopping and appreciating the the scenery, and all of a sudden you catch whiff of a fucking human turd. You look around and you just see a dump somebody left right there. And it just spoils the whole thing. I mean, we don't have to tolerate that. Maybe they can tolerate that in, like, the Baja Peninsula, but not on our trails in America.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not sorry. Why would I say that? That's disgusting.
I'm not sorry. You're the ones that are fucking gross.
Well,
these people don't even know about, like, digging a cat hole. Like, if you have to take a dump in the backwoods, like, if you're, like, dozens of miles away from civilization and you just absolutely need to.
Yeah, you dig,
like,
a hole.
People have figured this out. And it's not what you people do.
I bet you Aborigines do this, even.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I'm sure they do.
Yeah. It's interesting because I did some research on some of, like, the... some of the ecologists in America and people who are important and, like, doing national forests and doing all this different environmentalist stuff, came across this, what is it called? The Sierra Club, I believe it's called.
Yeah.
And I think it was started by some guy called John Muir from Scotland, but he came to America. It had something to do with the founding, or he has something to do with the Sierra Club. Yeah, it was John Muir. He founded it in 1892. Wow.
I mean, it was essentially a white supremacist organization.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. The Sierra Club and a lot of the environmentalists in the States were very, very... They believed in racial differences, let's just say that.
Yeah, to say the least.
They felt it was kind of like the white man's destiny to preserve this nature, which other people couldn't...
An actual white man's burden.
Yeah, it's like the other races can't appreciate it like we do. And maybe he's right. Because
no, you kidding? He was right.
I know he's right. I was just trying to be, like, you know, trying to make it interesting with the way I was talking.
Well, that's what I'm here to come back and say. Of course he's right.
Yeah. But it's interesting because the Sierra Club has traditionally had been, especially in its very beginning, was very much against immigration. But, like, in you know, recent times, there was, like, a kind of, like, half were anti-immigrants. The other ones were like, whatever. But now they're, like...
The other ones didn't know what was wrong. Like, they didn't see what was coming right down the pike.
Now they're, like, totally becoming gay.
Well, it won't surprise you to hear that that's thanks to Jews.
Starting in 96, that's when they kind of started to switch. They went from a more negative view of immigration to a neutral position on immigration.
It came with a lot of Jewish money.
And by 2013, they decided to support an equitable path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. So one of their things was, like, you know, population control. Because too many people, obviously, more industrialization or just more use of materials that are going to be polluted in the beautiful environment. But I guess, like, forget about that. We'll forget about our man.
Yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah.
You know, it's whatever.
Yeah, it says, oh, there's some connections to the eugenics movement. Oh my god.
Good.
But it's like, I think they did, like, a statement about, what was it? Black Lives Matter or something like that. How they have to recognize the white supremacy at the basis of their organization. Because John Muir was an evil, horrible man who wanted to preserve nature, but he was also, even the worst thing he could ever do was be a white separatist.
Nah, I think they should go back to their roots. And I'm
even worse than polluting Mother Nature, even worse than destroying the environment, is being white.
That's the worst thing you can do, according to them. No, I've got something better. I've got a new slogan. I want to get your thoughts on it.
That's right. What's it?
Clean jeans or green jeans? Huh? How about it?
Yeah, clean jeans are green jeans.
Yep.
That's right.
I think it's true. And I think most people would agree.
Well, it makes sense. Yeah, like, it's just logically, to preserve the environment, either you go the anarcho-primitivist route and just everyone dies, or you have an authoritarian government that says, you can't do this here at all. You can't develop here. You can't do anything here. This is sacred land. We can't expand anymore. Fuck you. This is Mother Nature, and we're protecting it.
You know, we need to practice a little bit of genetic hygiene. Something we haven't really taken care of over the years. We've let our genetic hygiene slip.
Yeah. So, well, that's sad. Sierra Club.
Yeah. Hopefully
you're supposed to be about preserving the environment. It's not about... That's literally the purpose of your organization, nothing else. Why do you have to turn it into this? Like, everything has to respond to BLM. Everything has to be pro-BLM now. Or else, like...
I don't think so.
Well, yeah, but not literally. Like,
but they do.
Yeah, they think it does. And if they don't, they're canceled. I mean, who has the power here?
No, we don't have the power, and it's to the detriment of everybody around us.
It's to the detriment of the environment. Because all of a sudden you're going to start saying, well...
The most universal surrounding that we share is the environment. Can you think of anything more definitionally universal than the environment? I can't.
You know, because you have in Portland that white guy that got beat up really hard.
Yeah, no, that guy, poor man. He got, man.
That's what, that, you know, and these people are still allowed.
I heard some people saying he died.
I don't think he died. I think I saw a picture of him sitting up, like he took a selfie or something.
Either way, he got fucked up.
No, like, seriously, like, they're allowed to do this shit.
Without consequence.
Without consequence. Who has the power? They do.
Not us.
It's a bourgeois revolution.
And it's going to destroy the planet.
It really is. You think these people give a crap about the environment? I mean, maybe the, like, white anarchists do, but, like, they're going to be overpowered.
I mean, even if they did, they wouldn't know what to do about it.
Yeah, because it's, like, anarchistic. You need a strong central organization.
That's giving them the most charity. I think more realistically is they don't even understand, like, the factual assumptions required to deal with this. I mean, to deal with it in a realistic way. They can offer some way to deal with it, but it won't meet the conditions of reality because they're not willing to accept racial differences. I mean, that's ultimately what it boils down to, is their refusal, their inability to accept these fundamental premises.
Yeah, it's
it's gonna fuck us. Like, that fact is so aggravating, so infuriating, that their retardation is going to mess everything up.
Yeah, they're
pisses me off.
They're utterly retarded. Anarchists are the most retarded people that have ever existed.
And they're not even willing to, like, see anything differently. They're totally willing to let everything fall apart for the sake of,
like,
their
feeling
assumptions.
Good.
Yeah. They're not willing to,
feeling morally supreme. And this sort of anarchistic tendencies and, like, sort of, I don't know, kind of, like, moral arguments and all that stuff, I feel like it kind of has seeped into pretty much every aspect of the left. Even some leftists that criticize anarchists, I still see this kind of just boring resentment. You know, and just weak, non-positive worldview, just bleh, moral, disgusting, like, saccharine, sappy stuff about the dignity of man. We can't do this to our fellow man.
I gotta disagree with you on one point there. It is positive. It's HIV positive.
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
That is undoubted.
Because, like, hardcore Marxists aren't supposed to be, like, necessarily, like, this, like, it's not really, like, a moral attack per se. on the system. I mean, there is that element, but
I think I don't know exactly if it's part of Orthodox Marxism explicitly, but you know, the preservation of the environment does seem like something you would consider under a materialist analysis. Would you not?
Maybe.
I think it's, you know.
Well, fundamentally, the Marxist ontology, you have like the you know, the worker as the subject, and the worker changes and alters the environment. So at the very basis, you have this kind of, you could argue, if you want to get very artistic.
Well, I'm going to try to guess where you're going. Is the environment a tool of the bourgeoisie to oppress the worker?
No, well, I don't know.
That sounded like where that argument was going.
No, I was just saying, like, the very, like, the way this subject is conceived in Marxism is like he's approached, he kind of shapes the environment in his, you know, in his image. Man shapes the environment in his image. So there's that tendency maybe to not appreciate the environment as something else.
So
as something other, you know,
the bourgeoisie subverts the proletariat's autonomy in shaping the environment,
and like creativity and
for
stuff
the profit
like that.
Motive.
We're getting near the end of the episode, kind of, not really, but we're 46 minutes in. I guess
I feel like we just started.
I feel like we could read a quick little Reddit thing I found. I know you didn't really want to do it, but I thought it'd be kind of funny to talk about the moral or just the complete decadence of our society.
Look, if Reddit's involved, I don't want any part of it, but I guess, you know, we gotta have to.
So this is on r/relationship advice, a goldmine of weird stuff that bugmen, or the big bugman.
Gender neutral bug people.
Bug folks.
Bug folks.
If you're gonna call us something, please call us bug folks, but not bug men.
Y'all bug folks.
Yeah, we're bug folks. So this is from the user Throwaway Granddad WTF. That's their username. So listen to this title. Listen to it. You might think I'm misreading it, but this is true.
I'm listening.
My girlfriend, 22-year-old female, wants me, 25-year-old male, to marry her grandfather. Let's just soak that in for a bit.
I wish I heard you incorrectly, but I know I didn't.
So let me repeat it to the audience just in case. My girlfriend, 22-year-old female, wants me, 25-year-old male, to marry her grandfather.
So we have a heterosexual dating couple where the woman involved, the younger woman, is asking that the older male legally marry her biological grandfather.
So let me go see if I could, I think the first paragraph kind of covers up most of it. I might skip something.
I sure hope so.
First of all, I'm sorry if this sounds confusing. English isn't my first language, but I really need to hear opinions on this. It's pretty good English so far. So today, out of the blue, and that's some good idiomatic usage right there, out of the blue. Anyways, so today, out of the blue, my long-term girlfriend sent me a message saying that she discovered something interesting. That interesting thing was that her grandfather, who's almost 90 years old, a widower and retired, I thought it said retarded for a second, a widower and retired, has some kind of pension for the spouse. The pension is lifelong and is more than our country's minimum wage. So what was she suggesting? That I married her grandfather, collecting the pension as a lifelong complimentary bonus for our wages. Of course, I was shocked and asked her if she was joking. She wasn't. She was serious. She says that the downside is that we'll never be able to legally marry, as I need to stay a widower to receive the pension. She also informed me that she talked to her mother about it, and she also thought it was fine and a smart move. I told her that I couldn't believe what I was reading. I don't know, maybe it was a text. Oh, yeah. His girlfriend. Anyways. I couldn't believe what I was reading/hearing, and she pretty much answered me something along the lines of, quote, how can you not see the opportunity? It's just a paper you need to sign. Don't be homophobic!
What?
And, you know, and the rest is like, oh, I'm not homophobic. Why did she use the blah, 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 blah? But imagine that, like, that's a sentence that can only be said now. Don't, you're not marrying my grandpa, you homophobe. Saying that to your boyfriend.
I don't even know where to begin. So, first of all, we live in a country where, like, this is something, like, you reasonably need to do to, like, maintain intergenerational wealth, mm-hmm. which should be a given.
True.
You know, sure, Jewish people and the 1% might benefit from that disproportionately, but one thing I know for sure is that we should not be doing anything that inhibits that for the working class whatsoever. Intergenerational wealth is a financial reality that has been denied to us in very recent years, and I think that needs to be reversed.
Yeah, well, it's
the
also...
The fact that you need to submit yourself to some, like, humiliation ritual...
Marrying your girlfriend's grandpa.
Your grandfather-in-law.
Yeah.
For you to have just a shred of inheritance, just a crumb of inheritance. I mean, that's evil. I don't care what you think, that's evil. That is so wrong on so many levels that it's not asking for much to say, hey, we shouldn't have to do this to get what we need.
And he says that the grandpa is absolutely lucid. He has all his faculties still. And
I can't imagine the horror he must feel then.
Hey, grandpa, you want to marry my boyfriend?
You want to be gay so we have anything to hold on to in this world? So it won't be siphoned off by our parasitic elites who dominate us financially and socially? How about it, Grandpa? Why don't you be gay so we can actually, like, have a legacy and family that means something, that carries on into the future? How about it, Gramps?
So someone writes with 4 points, 4 upvotes, free money is free money.
Right, and that's why I, like, still, like, understand why this is happening. Because, like, people want inheritance. It's not a crazy concept. It's not this radical, like, welfare queen bullshit that people want just because they're lazy. This is like a basic assumption of life that, you know, things that your family has will be able to, like, pass on to you and your family. You'll be able to pick up what your family left for you. It's not like a crazy assumption. And yet here we are.
Well, a lot of people in the comments are saying it's fake, and it could be very well fake.
I
hope it's fake. But, I mean, I wouldn't put it behind people nowadays, though. I mean, not even nowadays, forever. People are weird.
Like, I'd sooner believe that it's fake, and these people just aren't going to get anything in inheritance, than it's fake, and they are going to inherit something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. People are like, oh, this is a fake story, and it could be. But I don't know, man. It could be really weird. It could be real. People,
like I'm saying, irrespective of its reality, the fundamental story that it tells about the way our laws are set.
No, this is a different country.
Inheritance. When I say our, I mean West. The liberal capitalist West. I know it's not the United States. The United States, you know, does offer people maybe you could say just, some wouldn't, inheritance, right? Mm-hmm. But other countries don't, and that's still a problem, and I still see it as an injustice, and I have much of a problem with it, you know, in other Western countries as I do here. I think that it's still wrong no matter what country it's happening in, especially if it's a, you know, a white Western country.
We are back, and we're going to end this episode with just reading some of the thread titles on Reddit, r/relationship advice. Let's see. My 16-year-old female friend keeps trying to convert me, 16-year-old female also, to Christianity. I'm an atheist.
Are you Are you saying there's actually like a good thing happening?
Yeah, that sounds wholesome.
Well, tell me exactly how this falls apart in short order.
Well, things get a little more depressing afterwards. I, 22-year-old male, caught my mother, 42-year-old female, having intercourse with my friend, 22-year-old male.
What?
That's weird. My girlfriend acts like me expecting her to shower or brush her teeth is an insult, is it? Stanky!
Wait, are we, we're like, you're going on to other things simultaneously here?
Yeah, I think we were done with
you're just
the...
You're just reading the topics?
Yeah, just like to show you how stupid
okay,
things are.
I thought like all these ones you were reading off were the same thing, but...
No, I'm sorry. I should have clarified that.
Okay, I get it now.
Ooh! Well, that sounded like the Minecraft guy. Not on purpose.
Ooh!
Wife cheated on me 5 years ago. My son is not my son.
Oh, that is a big oof. No fucking kidding, dude.
I'm not going to go into the story about how I found out, but it happened. Left the house, and I'm with my parents. I don't care about my wife, soon to be ex. I need advice about the 5-year-old. It's not really written very well, but that's just Reddit stuff going on there.
Dude.
My boyfriend, 25-year-old male, used the dog's savings for a computer. Your dog has savings?
Yeah, what the fuck? I'm just trying to wrap my mind around, like, he used what?
Oh, it said that she has an old German Shepherd that was hit by a car in 2018. Oh, that's sad. Actually, that is fucked up.
And?
I guess they need money for it. I don't know.
They need money for their dog that's been dead for 2 years.
No, it's still alive.
Oh.
I think so.
So it's just like veterinary expenses?
Yeah.
Oh, you can't leave us just with the title on this one.
Okay.
You gotta at least let us know like what actually happened.
This is by user ThrowRA. Get it? Like throw away?
Yeah, I get it.
I have an 11-year-old senior German Shepherd. He was hit by a car in 2018. He went through a very difficult recovery process. He had seizures, urine issues, constant fear of anything going fast near him. Like I couldn't throw a ball anymore. That's really sad. We had another puppy, but our senior was so stressed out we had to rehome her. Aww. You would have sworn he was displaying abused behavior, but he was just scared. He's moved past all that. I'm so proud of him. The vet prescribed zoniamide for his seizures, and so far he's been recovering very well. We were discussing ways to improve his mobility. It's like a walking cane, but for dogs, and it has sensory objects on the end to prevent him from bumping into furniture. We tested it at the office, or in the office, and his mood improved instantly. This, at the time, I couldn't afford more treatment for him, so I opted to come back. I met D, I think that's her boyfriend, earlier this year while walking him. He's known since day one that my dog requires special treatment, and I would absolutely provide it. Everything went well, and he wasn't controlling or abusive. Everything just clicked, but it's my fault because I was too comfortable. We were talking about finances, and I told him about my debt and the money I was saving up for my dog. After paying off the debt from his previous treatments, I didn't want to open another card, so I started saving cash in a little fireproof chest. He stole it. Yesterday, I went to his place. I noticed he has a new setup. I was asking him where he got the money from, and we fought, and he said, he's half dead anyway. You need to let go.
Oh, shit.
See,
wow.
I hate computer nerd gamer people. And this proves it to me that they're the scum of the earth. Anyways. He's not even...
See,
I mean, this could be fake, too.
Even worse than I thought.
He's not even close to dying. He's a little older, but he's nowhere near dying age. We go to the veterinarian regularly, and everything checks out as well as it can be, given his circumstances. No one has ever mentioned death. We've only been looking at the future and improvements. I'm so upset. What do I do? We're both students, and I don't want to call the police and ruin his future. That was for my baby to get what he needed so he can walk around my home comfortably. That guy's a piece of shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's criticism that can be shared all around, but the worst thing that happened here is, like, this guy stole...
He stole money from you.
His girlfriend's money.
Money, yeah. That's...
And it doesn't really matter what that money was supposed to go to. It's like stealing people's money is bad. You know, especially if they're just a normal person just trying to, like, cover their expenses. Like the person here. Yeah. I mean, secondarily, after that, I can criticize the idea of, like, spending so much on the, you know, treatments to keep your dog alive.
But that's, she's, whatever, it's...
You know, people do it, maybe it's not the best use of your money, but, like, if it's your money, if you're not married...
Yeah.
You know, then you still have autonomy over
your finances. He literally stole money from you, that's...
You stole money to keep... That you were saving to keep your dog alive. It's
so
like,
he could be a
really
bug man.
Yeah, so he could be...
A Twitch streamer who probably is addicted
to,
like,
so
porn.
Scummy. It's so low down and, like, just no respect. You can't respect it. It's just gross.
My wife of 15 years came out as gay, and I've been a wreck. Well, that sucks.
Damn, what'd you do, bro? 15 years, and then now all of a sudden? And what's going on there?
Oh, whoa! My 40-year-old... I'm a 40-year-old female. My husband, 39-year-old male, admitted to me that he has been cheating on me with his cousin for a majority of our marriage.
Bruh.
Bruh. Yeah, these are, like... I thought they'd be more absurd. I mean, these are bad, but I thought they'd be, like, more absurd. But...
I mean, this is pretty fucking absurd.
Yeah. My vegan girlfriend wants me to get rid of my cat.
It's far more pathetic than it is absurd.
My 23-year-old female girlfriend's obsession with Pokemon is embarrassing me, and it's embarrassing me too. Oh! My girlfriend's father discouraged me from proposing because the family isn't thrilled about us having dark babies.
Do we know the races involved here?
Let's see. They began speaking in Korean, the parents. So he's obviously the black, and she's Korean.
Ancestor cry. Grandparent disappoint, broken branch.
He said that he was worried about their extended family not viewing our babies as Korean, and they're not.
It's a valid concern.
And being rude to them or me for being black. I guess this does not come across well in English because he was just concerned for me and our kids.
So just to clarify, the woman is black?
No, he's black. The family's Korean. He went to the house.
He is still concerned that her grandparents would be upset.
What? No, the father. The father said that because he was concerned that his family, meaning the grandfather, said, was concerned if this black fella had a kid with his daughter because their family wouldn't perceive it as Korean. And he was worried.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That's, you know, par for the course.
Sorry if I did not explain that well.
Nah, I think I just lost track. Yeah, well... You know, your dad's not wrong. I will give you the full answer to all that right here, right now. Listen to your family. Don't break the branch. What sayeth you?
I'm looking for more weird shit.
Fair enough.
Wait, what? My unborn child absorbed... Oh, I thought it said aborted. My unborn child absorbed its twin, and now my wife resents it.
I don't even want to deal with that. I don't want to have an opinion. Don't tell me anything more. It's like
my fiance's ex sent me their sex tapes, and I made the terrible mistake of watching it.
Oh, God! What?
Why would you do that?
So the ex boyfriend girlfriend sent sex tapes.
God, people are pieces of shit.
Probably out of jealousy, right? I mean, that sounds like a fair guess.
Yeah, or just to get him, a jealousy or like, ha ha, I did your girl.
Just like
you.
Revenge.
I suspect that my new boyfriend may be female to male transgender. Well, look at his dick. Does he have a dick or not? Anyways,
described it as it would look like a cheese blintz if they're female to male.
I don't even know what a cheese blintz is entirely. I've never had
it. It's like a breakfast dish.
Oh, yeah. Ugh. Ugh, yeah.
Sort of looks like a Twinkie.
Yeah, I searched it up. It looks pretty good.
But that's how Gavin McGinnis describes a FTM dick.
Is he familiar with it?
I suppose so.
He must be.
I trust his authority.
Well, I think we should put a bookmark here.
I'm not going to go back to this book.
Yeah, we're going to throw this book away. We're going to put it in the return pile of the library.
Let's not bookmark it and say we did.
Let's not do anything. Let's just put it away.
Back to the shelves with you.
Anyways, I hope you guys had a good time. My name is Englund. With me, I have Nikkei.
Thank you for listening.